Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
What we're going to do today, we meaning me and whoever's with me here, is we're going to lay a bed of faith. You know, I think about my life, how it works, you know, because there's so many more people in this room better equipped to do what I do than me. I'm well aware of that, okay? So what I do, just to give me an edge in this, is I have to have a platform of faith to operate from instead of a platform of skill or talent or whatever. It's a platform of faith. And so what I prefer to do in my life is I prefer to kind of lay a bed of faith, all right, into the situation, so that wherever I'm going or whatever I'm doing that day, today, there's a bed of faith that I begin from, and it's how everything ends up working in my life. And in this bed of faith, it's simple how I do it, because it's faith's real simple. Okay, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. So faith is current, faith is now, all right? So it's not later on, or I'm gonna have to acquire some, and I have to build some. No, we have to tap into this faith that God's given us. He's given all of us a measure of faith. And see, we've all been given the measure of faith in our life so that no matter what we face, we can lay that kind of platform or layer or bed of faith to be able to operate our lives. And the way I do it is, I believe in my heart, and I know what I believe. I believe that God's the healer. I believe God, he's the deliverer. I believe God's our resource. I believe God's our source. I believe God's our reward. I believe God's our joy. I believe God's our peace. I believe that God's our father. I mean, you think about that. The creator of the heavens and earth is our dad. And him being our father, I look at it. And what he's done is he's giving me, already given me, past tense, he's already given me everything pertaining to life and godliness. So you think about it now, I've got everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been given me. So what do I have to do? I have to receive it. How do I receive it? I believe it and I speak it. See, the one thing about the faith that we have in Jesus is it's verbal. We have to speak it. And you know, it's interesting because Jesus has given us his name, and what his name has done, his name has cleared everything out, okay? We've got this sure path now for life, but Jesus has cleared everything else by giving us his name. And what he said was he would make the gates of Hades meaningless to us. Can't keep us away from or out of God's promise. He said that we could speak to the mountain and say, be removed to be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. And that's all at the name of Jesus. That's the God kind of faith right there. Okay, now faith is. Our faith is now. So the way I begin every day, the way I begin every situation is I just kind of, man, I run my traps of faith. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. No weapon formed against me can prosper, yet everything I put my hand to will. I'm created in Christ Jesus for good works. The same things Jesus did, I do, but greater because he goes to the Father. See, what that does is that just speaking that, listen, and what it does in an assembly like this is it creates an atmosphere of faith. And see, that's where I want this bed of faith to do. I want it to produce an atmosphere of faith in the room. Because I'll tell you why. And I know this as sure as I'm standing here. It's a miracle for every person in this room. There's a miracle for every person in Skytook, every person in Sepulpa. There's a miracle that God has for you today. Man, I'll go so far as to tell you that miracle. I was driving to church this morning, and I don't say this very often, but I know I heard God's voice. I mean, it was so cool. And I'm just telling you, by the Spirit of God for you, a word of the Lord for you today, there's a miracle in your life. There's a miracle, listen, in your home. So what I want to do is I want to prepare you to be able to go to your home. You're going to go to your home. You're going to stick that key in the lock. You're going to open up that garage door, and you're going to walk into the presence of God, and there's going to be a miracle in your home. But see, what does that require? That requires some expectancy. What does that require? That requires, listen, eliminating doubt. What does that require? That requires you being receptive. See, we don't just walk into situations receptive to the things of God. Because you know what? We're in this world. We're subject to gravity. Our senses are picking things up. And you know what? Man, they're factual, and sometimes they contradict God's truth. See, and what happens in our life is that we can either trust God's truth, the truth of his word, or we can trust the facts of our situations, our symptoms, our circumstances. See, and looking at this, and I understand there's going to be some natural resistance to this. Because you'll say, wait a second, I'm going to walk into my house and there's going to be a miracle in my house? Absolutely, in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you why, because the next 20 minutes, man, I'm going to preach toward that end. See, and what happens is this word has power, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And let me tell you, it is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. It is able to separate the thoughts and intents of our heart. It is able to lead us into purpose. See, what I believe in my life is there's a flow that God has for us. See, and we get in that flow, and it's like, oh my gosh, man, things are amazing. I can believe God for anything. So what the devil wants to do is deceive us or lie to us or confuse us and get us out of God's flow. Do you understand? There's a supernatural flow when you say, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Lord of my life. God, I want all of you that I can get. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I'm putting my trust in you. My trust is in your word, God. I'm gonna count everything that man says a lie, everything that my senses pick up a lie, and I'm gonna count your word to be the truth. Let me tell you what happens. Your life gets into a flow. And you get in that flow, and it's like, oh my gosh, my life has become light and easy. Even though there's a burden, that burden's easy. Even though, listen, everything I see hasn't changed. See, this is an inside out life that God gives us now. See, what God's done is he's taken his presence, he's taken heaven, he's taken his kingdom, and he's put it inside of us. So now we have to produce this in our lives. And so the words that we speak become seed to that production, that new production in life. See, I'm not going to live the way I once lived. Let me tell you, the Bible promises God's doing a new thing. Let me tell you, that's exciting. God's doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? Man, it's going to come, and let me just tell you, it's going to give you rivers in the desert and a highway in the wilderness. God's doing a new thing in your life. So what you've got to do, man, you can't have your head down. You can't just plod along. No, you know what you've got to do? You've got to lift your head. You've got to open your eyes. You've got to look at the fields. They're wide under harvest in your lives. Think about God's promise. The fields of your life are overripe. See, some of you guys are thinking, man, where's my harvest? I'm telling you, it's in that flow that God has for you. There's a miracle in your house. There's a miracle in your life, and you receive it by faith today. It's not a miracle for tomorrow. It's not a miracle for next month or next week or next year. It's a miracle now, faith is. And what is that faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of what we hope for. Man, what's that hope? In Hebrews, it says that this hope is a living hope, and it's the anchor to our souls. You know, it's interesting because a storm will hit our lives, and y'all know that if we're a ship and the storm rises up, man, you would got to be anchored. Otherwise, we're going to be tossed to and fro, the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. And the wind of doctrine is essentially a teaching or a profession without any basis. See, the basis of what we teach, the basis of what we profess comes from God's promise. But see, if it's not anchored in God's promise, let me tell you, you're going to be tossed to and fro, the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. And that what that wind of doctrine is going to produce, that storm's going to produce, is you being totally off course. And you know what? I know many of you, maybe all of you in here, have had that sense in your life that you were off course. I know in my life where it's like I'll get too busy or I'll too stubborn or my head's not up, my eyes aren't open, I'm looking down and I'm just toughing it out and fighting through it. I'm just going to get through this. And that's not the life that God's given us. See, God's promised us the land, and this land, let me tell you, flows with milk and honey. This land, the fruit of the land and the harvest of the land is so great, you're going to have to build teams to just be able to bring in the harvest for your personal life. That's the miracle that I'm talking about in your house today. And I'm telling you, it's today. And I'm telling you, I'm going to fight my way through this today. Man, this is the fight of faith. God's given us a measure of faith because he's like, listen, you have to fight for this promise. And the fight is trusting God. The fight is not trusting what you see or how you feel or what your senses are picking up. What economic indicators or whoever's in the White House, none of that stuff matters in the kingdom. Man, the government rests upon Jesus' shoulders and no one else. And I'm telling you, you could trust him. See, this bed of faith, what it does is it lifts us up. And now what it does is it gives us hope. Man, in the book of Psalms, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I'll tell you, that opens our eyes, that opens the window for us to be able to see what the devil's going to try to do. What the enemy's going to try to do is the enemy's going to try to get you, listen, to get off a track, to move your target, and to defer your hope. Man, you'll ask somebody to pray for you, and you'll go, man, oh my gosh, the pain's still there. What happened? No, the Bible says that we lay hands on the sick, and what do? They recover. Do you understand? Recovery is that flow. And some of you guys say, well, yeah, but I've heard it was instant, or I've heard it was, let me just tell you, what does the word say? Lay hands on the sick, and they'll what? That's what we trust. That's what we believe, not how we feel. Man, it doesn't matter what your pain. Let me just tell you, that pain is real to your senses. But the truth is, Jesus bore my pain. The truth is, he was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by whose stripes you were healed. See, this is the absolute of God's promise. Man, God's going so far as to say, "My look, my promises are yes and amen, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take counsel in my promise, in my word." That's what God does. And God's not coming up with new ideas. I'm telling you, when Jesus died on that cross, what were his last words? It is finished. What's finished? That veil is rent. And now, guess where our hope takes us? Our hope takes us to the presence of God on the other side of the veil. See, the promise that we have in God's word is that, man, the hope that we have is we'll find God. I'll tell you, I think I've told you this recently that, man, it's a brand new Christian. Man, I know God's a good God. And in God, there's no shadow of turning. See, so he's not a schizophrenic God. He's not going to be a good God on Sunday and a bad God on Monday. God's a good God every day. God is good. And you know what? Men aren't good. That's how good God is. That God sets a whole new standard of good. See, so now we look at it and all hell's breaking loose in our lives. Or there's a diagnosis that comes and it hits us like a wrecking ball right in the teeth. Well, wait a second. Whoa, wait a second. Whose report are you going to believe? And you know what I found out? There's a report of the Lord. In every report that we receive, there's a report of the Lord. Jesus put it this way. You've heard it said, but I say to you. You've heard it said, man, let me tell you something. Reasonable, you've heard this, but what I say to you is contrary to what the world's been saying to you. Man, the way you have been taught, you know what he's going to do? God, the whole idea of God renewing our minds is that we've got to have a relationship with God and his word, and that renews our mind. But what is renewing our mind does is it flips the script of our lives. See, instead of me walking like I walk now and living like I live now and the way I've lived is the way I'm going to live, let me tell you, history doesn't have to repeat itself in your life. Why? God wants to do a new thing. I'm just telling you, to every person in this room, that's great news. The great news is God wants to do a new thing with you today. There's a miracle in your house. I'm telling you, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. But you know what the Bible says? Man, we go back to that verse in Psalms, and the Bible says, yeah, but when you receive it, man, when you have it, when you realize that, man, it's the tree of life. It's the tree of life. Man, we go back to the garden. And the tree of life is everything. God said, look, everywhere you see, it's yours. Everywhere, anywhere you go, it's yours. He said, but this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't partake of that tree. Because if you do, you'll die. So what did the enemy do? The enemy deceives Eve. The enemy lies to Eve and says, you're not going to surely die. It ain't going to kill you. Man, you eat fruit every day and it doesn't kill you. That tree's no different. And you know what? The more he talked, the more she listened, the deeper that trap got set. To where she finally, she ate of the tree, the fruit of that tree. And then she convinced Adam into doing it. And you know what? And God says, Adam, what have you done? Well, this woman who you gave me, trying to make excuse for the facts. God had to send Jesus. Jesus, listen, said it's finished. Now this provision that God gives us with this tree of life is restored back to God's people, and it's God's intent for mankind. And you know what? All we have to have is hope. Hope gets us to the presence of God on God's side of that veil. My goodness, I'm telling you, there's the majority of people, even sitting in church today, live on the man's side of the veil. Live at this level of life right here. You know what? When God's got this level of life for you to live on, man, he's got a land that flows. Everybody say flows. Man, you get in that flow, guess what? It's milk and honey. Man, it's nourishment. Man, it's everything pertaining life and godliness. And no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. And everything you put your hand to will prosper. Let me tell you what that is. Man, that's hope, but you defer your hope. Makes your heart sick. Ruins everything. See, and we look at this and we even go to Job, and let me tell you, this is the knockout punch. Man, some of you guys, some of these services are kind of a split decision, and hopefully we win. Man, today you're getting a knockout punch. Man, we go to Job, and I think it's the fifth chapter, and maybe 16th verse. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. I'm loving this. I'm loving God's attitude in this scripture. The poor have hope. Not hoping in what they have, hoping in God's promise. Now the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Let me tell you what your hope does. It shuts the mouth of injustice. You know those things where you'll get a diagnosis and you'll say, why God, this isn't fair. Man, something, a trauma happens. Why God? Man, God, this is confusing. God, this isn't fair. Let me tell you what it is. It's not fair. It's injustice. And what does hope cause? Hope makes injustice shut its mouth. Hope makes poverty shut its mouth. Hope makes sickness shut its mouth. Hope makes loss shut its mouth. There's a miracle in your house. I'm telling you, you've got to have this platform of faith now. And guess what it does? Man, hope rises up in you. Man, I'm telling you, as convincing as I can be, I'm driving to church. The Lord spoke to me and said, tell them there's a miracle in their house. So now my message is like, dear God, what do I got to do? I've got to pave a way. I've got to take a bridge. I got to build a bridge from where you are to where your house is. Man, I've got to build a bridge now from where you are to where that miracle is. And I'm telling you, it's happening. Right now, that bridge is being constructed. And all you've got to do is get in God's flow and stay in God's flow. And you're going to put the key in that lock. You're going to open up the garage door. You're going to walk into your house. And the presence of God's there. You think about the game changer for life now. You think about you going home and sitting down and having lunch. You think about you going home and you relaxing for a little bit. Man, you going to bed tonight and waking up, listen, with a word of faith in your mouth. Why? Because your hope has come up. See, what our hope is the anchor to our soul. So when a storm comes, we don't just get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But let me tell you something else. In calm waters, an unanchored boat will drift. See, even if there's not a storm in your life, everything seems to be going well. It sure is peaceful. Man, I don't even feel like I'm under attack right now. This is awesome. Man, don't do anything different. Next thing you know, you look up and think, how did we get here? Man, there's so many people that'll say, you know, I'm going to take a sabbatical from serving. I'm going to take a sabbatical from church. I think sabbatical is a pretty mature way of saying that, man, everything's good enough now. I think things are good enough. Let me tell you, in the kingdom, here's how it works. Nothing stays idle. In the kingdom, you're either gaining ground or you're losing ground. In the kingdom, you're either winning or you're losing. See, that's how this works. Things don't just stay the same. See, God wants to do a new thing. Shall you not know it? I'm just telling you, man, we look at our lives and think things are pretty cool. My marriage is pretty cool. Sandy's pretty happy. Man, we got enough money. I think we're okay. And you know what? We begin to drift and not even know it. And man, an opportunity will come up or something will happen and I'll look up and it'll be like, dear God, how'd we get here? Oh my gosh, we're so far off course. See, what God has for all of our lives is God has a flow for us to get in. God has a current. And what that current does is it takes us, listen, from faith to faith and from power to power and from glory to glory. And see, there's not punctuation there in the original text. So when Opeta's singing that song, glory to glory to glory, never be the same. Let me tell you, that glory doesn't stop. It's just glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Somebody better get excited about this. I'm telling you right now, there's a dadgum miracle in your house. You've got to get home. But you got to come home with this new attitude. You got to come home and you got to bring this atmosphere of victory and faith from your heart to your home. And you know what you do? You go home and you go to the middle of your house and you drive that stake of faith into your home. And you say, I've staked this out now. You say, yeah, but last week I lost my job. If God be for you, who could be against you? If God's called you to win, if God's called you to always triumph, who cares where your paycheck comes from? Let me tell you what God's intended that paycheck to be anyway, is seed. He's your source. He's your resource. He's your reward. He's your promotion. He's your bonus. See, we're counting on the world to bonus us. We're counting on the world to promote us. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. Promotion comes from above. Everybody say, promotion in my life. Better, better, better. Promotion in my life comes from above. I can't be stopped. I can't be stopped because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. See, now you're getting in that flow. What's happening, man? I'm flowing. I'm in that flow. I got some momentum. Man, I'm telling you right now, man, I got some traction now. Man, you give men of God in this room some traction, man, I'll tell you what happens. Resource will find you. See, that's what God's flow is. Man, God's flow, resource, and opportunity find you. See, Jesus was very clear. He said, you didn't pick me. You didn't choose me. And I'm thinking, well, I beg to differ. I remember that day in June 1979, I chose Jesus. Really? He said, you didn't pick me. He said, I picked you. And see, when he chose you, he appointed you. It wasn't just some kind of fire insurance so you didn't go to hell. It wasn't just this absolution of sin where you got rid of all the baggage in your life. No, you know what? It took you from here, this natural level right here, to here. And let me tell you what you want in the kingdom. Let me tell you what you want spiritually. You want high ground. Man, you find that high ground. We're that city that's on a hill that can't be hidden. You know what that city on a hill is? It's a place of advantage. Do you understand the devil is always fighting uphill in your life now? Do you understand? He's always trying to get up. And you know what? We're thinking, man, what does he use? He's using lies. Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm... Let me tell you, I'm not good enough. So you know what? I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to build a team. I'm going to put the best guys I can find around me. Who's your friends going to be? The people that are at a place where I want to be. You know what? Are they fun? Sometimes. Are they witty? In their way. Are they right with God? Is there a level of holiness, H-O-L-Y, and holy living, W-H-O-L-L-Y, where they get all of God they can get? Yes. Pastor, can I be on your team? Can I be one of your guys? Yeah. What do I have to do? You got to be in for life. You've entered a room with no exits. We're to trust God. Come hell or high water, whoever's elected next or elected last or whatever election there is, I don't care. Do you understand that? Do not care. And I'll tell you why. The heart of my king's in the hand of God. I'll tell you why. I'm just looking. I want to be a friend to the world, whether they're a friend to me or not. The world's going to be benefited because we're here. You know why? There's a miracle in my house. I'm expecting Sandy. I'm expecting Kennedy to have their head up and their eyes open when they walk in that door. There's going to be a tangible presence of God. See, and with this, I'm just telling you, now it's a whole new level. The hope that we have as an anchor to our soul, sure and steadfast. Why? It gets us to the presence behind the veil. Oh my gosh. How many of you guys have hope today? How many of you guys are expected? How many of you guys are expected to walk into your house and you walk right smack dab into a miracle? Anybody expected for a miracle in your house? Here's how this works. I'm not some Old Testament prophet that you can stone if it doesn't happen. I'll tell you why. That miracle's in your mouth. Me speaking it is one thing. You receiving it is all you is required. I had chicken last night. I didn't have pepperoni. So this isn't some kind of indigestion that I'm thinking, man, God, is that you? Huh, that's odd, God. I got some indigestion, and I'm just thinking, maybe you're speaking to me through that indigestion. No. I'm telling you, I'm driving to church, praying in the spirit, minding my own business, listening to B.B. Winans. And God spoke to me. He said, let them know there's a miracle in their house. What the enemy's meant for bad. How many of you guys have been living that, what the enemy's meant for bad? Guess what? Today. Today's the day of your redemption. Today's the day of your turnaround. Today's the day of your breakthrough. What the enemy means for bad, God turns it to good. I'm telling you right now. Now let me tell you, man, we go back to Job. What does Job say? It shuts the mouth of injustice. Man, some of you guys have been living in a house of injustice. Just doesn't seem to be working out. I can't seem to be getting any better. Well, you know, I never got any breaks. I've been dealing with nepotism, where I've been in a family business and I got the wrong last name. Can I tell you how God turns that around? Your nepotism here naturally that has been bad for you turns into nepotism spiritually that's good for you, that your daddy is the creator of nepotism. Your daddy, that's what the kingdom is. Man, the Bible says God didn't hear the cry of the sinners, but the sons, God's constantly mindful of his sons. They're the apple of his eye. They're what God, listen, we put our hope in God's promise. God puts his hope in us living his promise.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.